We're in the book of Hebrews. I'm starting at the first chapter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm getting to think on this, and the Lord began to inspire me. Started thinking about the promise. The promise. God has delivered on His promises. We're going to get into that. Let's start. First chapter, the first verse is that God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Jump over to the second chapter, Hebrews, first verse. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Therefore, we should ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Come on, give God some praise.
Amen.
Amen. Promise God, who at sundry times and divers in many forms, in many portions, talking about the Father, Father God, the revealed God, spake to us in times past, in times of old. He spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. Those who spoke for God, and they told about the promise of God. They talked about Canaan and those type of blessings, but he also talked about the heavenly blessing. He talked about a material blessing. So he spoke to them at that time, and many times reinforcing that word that he spoke to them, and hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Spoken to us by his Son. Now he's speaking at this time. We're talking about at the end of those days, the period closed by the ministry of John. The ministry of John closed out, and Jesus walked on the scene.
Right. Mm-hmm.
His Son, talking about God, who at sundry times is now speaking through us by his Son. His Son in origin and in nature, because that's what God is. That's part of the promise, his origin and his nature for us. Jump to that second chapter. It says, therefore, on account of this, on account of him speaking to us, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. In other words, while we're going through these situations and circumstances, we're to grab on and hold on to that word, that at any time we should let them slip. Don't let ideas feelings and conditions cause you to let loose of the word or the promise that God has given you.
Amen.
Come on, give God some more prayer.
Amen.
Because it's easy when you're going through things and things are happening to you and things are not happening the way that we think or how quickly they should happen. You have a tendency to slip. And what I mean by slipping is we tend to go the other way. We want to ask questions. Well, is God?
Right.
Is God going to do this?
Right.
Now, he's been faithful, but we question. That's why we have to hold on to that word. We got to give heed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Second verse in chapter 2, he said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
Wow. Amen.
See, the word of God is true. God used the prophets in the Old Testament. God used the angels to speak the word. They came forth, they were inspired, the prophets were inspired, and the angels heard directly from the throne and delivered that word. And that word was founded, it was established, it was made true,
I
say, it was firm, and it was confirmed by the miracles.
Right.
Again, perfect example. God, back in the Old Testament, after they had built the altar, God gave them the specifications for the brazen altar. And he said, obey this, and God said, I will visit you. I will visit you. Prepare yourself. I will visit you. So they prepared the altar according to the specification. And they put the wood on the altar according to the to the instructions of God. And God wanted a sacrifice. They put the sacrifice on the altar. And as they did so, God sent a sign from heaven. He lit the fire for them. He lit the fire for them. Why? Because of the promise.
Amen.
The promise. God's word spoken by the angels was steadfast. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In other words, to show that that was true, when you did well, you were blessed. But when you did wrong, you were punished. Every time you broke the law or overstepped or went aside from disobedience, talking about unwillingness to hear. See, unfortunately, we have to have a teachable spirit. When it comes to the things of God.
Amen.
Nobody knows it all. I don't know it all. Pastors don't know it all. I mean, there's some brilliant people out in this audience, and I'm sure know the word in great portion, but no one knows it all. And as God is leading us in these last days, we are in this last time period. God is leading us by His Spirit through this book.
Amen.
He's leading us through this book. Okay, and you got to become familiar with it. I know we say that over and over again, but you got to become familiar with it. Why? Because this is the way God operates. God operates according to His word, and He sent the word unto us. The one who was in the beginning. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word took upon a fleshly body and came and dwelt among us. And now He's living in us. Come on and give God some praise. That's the promise. That's the promise. God was, well, talking in the Bible study this morning about how God began to promise to get us out of this state that we're in. Even before there was a written word, God wrote the word in the stars.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
He wrote the word in the stars. Now that we got this little portion, they still put it in the back of the newspaper called the Zodiac. Your horoscope. That's supposed to determine by what star that you were born under, you know, what's supposed to happen to you. Well, God already fulfilled that promise. He told you what was going to happen to you when He wrote in the star. He said, I'm going to send a redeemer that's going to free their people from their sin. That's how Enoch was able to look up and prophesy against the wickedness of that day. You can't prophesy without the word. And the word was written in the heavens. Each cycle, God is over in the book of Psalms talking about how God would shine the light on each sign of that zodiac. It's 12 of them. That talks about God's government. God, everything belongs to God, but man want to get his little thing in it, so he's going to take it, and he's going to determine and tell you what's going to happen to you because you were born under the sign of Leo. You got a bad attitude. Don't have nothing to do with you. Now, we don't need that anymore. God allowed that to fade. We have this. We have His written word. And we have the one who is the word living on the inside of us, fulfilling His promise. And I said in that third verse, how shall we escape the wrath if we neglect so great salvation? The one who is the salvation is in us, and He's brought His word. He's preaching that word from the inside, and He's helping us. He's encouraging us. Don't let the promises slip. That which God told you personally, don't let it slip. But now make sure that it's according to the will of God. Make sure it's according to His desire. A lot of folks get messed up because they want it their way. You can't have it your way. It's according to His desire. Come on and give God a little praise. Hallelujah. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? And He spoke to His disciples and those that were in that day. And they took that word and spoke it to others. And they began to get saved. That was the confirmation. Strangers began to get saved. They began to speak that word to outsiders, those that were outside the nation of Israel. And they discovered that they began to get saved. God promised, extended out.
Yes,
it was first to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, talking about the land. But it was a greater aspect to that promise, because it talks about eternal life. The eternal life that we have now is a promise fulfilled by the Father. He said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And we see that today, because all manner of flesh is getting saved, not just the Jews. So I don't have to be a Jew. I don't have to be a special one. All I've got to be is one that calls upon his name and asks for his mercy. He's faithful and just to give me that mercy according to his word. So that thing that hurt it, God also backing up his son. He backed up his son. He sure assured that word that his son was preaching by miracles. They were raised from the dead. The blinded eyes was open. The deaf ears was unstopped. Hallelujah. The limbs were stretched out and made whole. Those that had infirmities by that same word. That one who spoke to us time past, that word is still good today. God is still saving. God is still healing. God is still delivering. God is still setting free. That word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can accomplish anything. By the word, the worlds were established. Time and space was established. And then God filled that in that time and space with the planets. He filled it in with the galaxies. He filled it in with the stars and the suns. He filled it in with the planet Earth itself. And he caused life to grow up on that planet. By first called the man Adam. And we still have that life today. But we got a greater life than Adam, because he turned away from his creator. And we turned back by his son. So we have that salvation. And it's great. It's powerful. It can heal. It can deliver. It can set free. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How shall we escape? If we neglect it, if we let it slip, there is no escape. Man think he gonna get away. He think he can straddle a fence. Let me tell you something, there is no fence. You either on his side. Who's on the Lord's side? What did Moses ask him? When Dathan, Korah, and Abiram made rebellion in the camp, he said, who's on the Lord's side? Come over to me. Dathan, Korah, Abiram, they cried rebellion in the camp. They tried to overthrow the man of God. But when Moses spoke and those came over, the ground opened up and swallowed those in rebellion. So if they couldn't escape, how shall we escape? We who have heard his son, we who have experienced his salvation, we who have experienced his power, if we turn back, there is no escape. Let us not neglect it. Don't let your disappointment cause you to slip. Don't let your circumstances cause you to slip. Don't let people cause you to slip away from the promise that God has given to you, because he's a faithful God. Hallelujah. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. They began to preach and the folks began to get saved. And God turned that dish. Let me get back to this word. He said, God bearing them witness with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and with the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's where we come in. God has given us his gift. It says in the word of God, it says, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. That word is translated spiritual things. God doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning spiritual things, but you got to get in this word. God will make it plain to you. God will explain it to you. It don't matter who you are or what your name is, because he's no respecter person. He's not going to talk to me just because my name is Pastor Timothy Keys and I happen to be a third generation preacher to be more than you, because he died for you. He put his life on the line for you. His salvation is in you. So you can ask the same question that I can, and God's going to give it to you the same way for you to understand it. That's how great God is. That's how great his salvation is. Come on and give God a praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It was confirmed. hallelujah, to me when I got saved. Hallelujah. I'm telling about my father, how I wanted to be like him. My father loved sports. He loved sports, loved baseball. And what he wanted his son to sit down and watch football with him. I was too young, ripping and running around the house. Eventually, I began to sit down and watch football with him. Watch baseball. Loved to sit down on Sunday nights before he got saved, sci-fi night. Sitting up watching Boys to the Bottom of the Sea. But then Daddy got saved. And I wanted that too.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Daddy got saved.
Yes.
And got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen. And I wanted that too.
Amen.
And even though I was young and didn't understand everything, I was 17 years old when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gave that promise to my father, the fathers before them, all the way back to Abraham.
Yeah.
And he gave that promise to my father,
yeah,
and told him, he said, I will save you and your whole house.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. My brother's here to witness today about that word that went on in the house, that God is a savior.
Yeah.
It don't matter who you are, where you are, what condition you happen to be in. If you trust in the word, God will lead you and guide you by his spirit. My daddy wasn't in the church when he got saved. He was at his kitchen table having to open up his Bible. He was worried about what was going on back in the civil rights days. How this stuff was going to turn around. God told him that man's mission is over. Martin Luther King, that's over. He said, your ministry, I'm getting ready to call you. Get your teach you what you have to know. God will teach you by his word. The greater one is in you for salvation. He's in you for knowledge. He's in you for wisdom. That's what that Holy Ghost is all about. Come on and give God some praise. This was designed by his will. In the beginning, God intended for this to happen. It wasn't by accident. Jesus was the first filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He passed that on. He was the pattern son. We who are sons and daughters in God, we now are filled with the Holy Ghost. Led by God just the way he was. They look at him funny because he was a human, but he was God. Hallelujah. Romans, the 15th chapter. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 15th chapter. We're going to start with the 8th verse. Glory to God. Glory. The promise. The promise. Hallelujah. The promise. Glory to God for his promise. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 15:8 says, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the Father. I'm going to read it the way it is in my Bible. Some of the words are the original was omitted. It says, now I say that Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, has become a minister of circumcision. The word does not there. For the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the Father. Jesus Christ was a minister of circumcision. And that word circumcision is very important. Now, God used that cutting away of flesh as a sign in the Old Testament of his people being different from the heathen nation. That's why God gave the commandment. Also, circumcision aids in reproduction. That foreskin interferes with it, so God commands to cut it away. Now, in us, God is interested in cutting away flesh. God wants us to reproduce the nature and the character of his son in the earth. So we have to cut away our flesh, cut away our attitude and our disposition so that God might have his way. We have to yield ourselves unto him. That's what prayer and fasting will do. That's the part of the cutting away of the flesh, so that we can, as we decrease, God will increase in our lives. Come on and give God some praise. For the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the Father. A way out was promised. Now they were promised a way into Canaan, and God delivered. But then Israel messed up. They messed up on the promise by not following out the script. God told them when they got in the land, don't make friends with the inhabitants.
Amen.
Don't do what they do.
Yeah.
What did they do? They made friends with the inhabitants. Started doing what they doing.
Yeah.
God said the land will kick you out. God said I will send in enemies to kick you out.
Yeah.
God did both. God confirmed his word. Now, God also said he sent his son to destroy the works of the devil. Now, we folks think about the devil. They were thinking about some guy with horns, red, with a forked tail, hooves. Okay, that's somebody's imagination. Michelangelo's a great painter. And I believe his talent was from God, but that don't mean his... what he did was inspired by God.
Right.
Say it like that. Because everybody looking for this guy with horns and a tail and hairy legs. When the Bible says he's as he was, he is an angel of light. In other words, his form has not mutated.
Right.
Come out here, Pastor.
But that's not the devil he's talking about. He's talking about that joke, but you know what? I'm going to take a little side trip here. Go to the book of Galatians. Go to the book of Galatians. Let me teach you a little bit here.
Amen. Amen.
Once again, Jesus in his earth form was multitasking. Mm-hmm. Setting up the pattern for our lives. One who listened to God, one who obeyed God, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, what God did was Jesus had to clear his own mind out so that he could hear from God.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking to Sunday school class at this morning. So that's what we have to do. We have to clear out our mind so that we can hear from God.
Amen.
Now, God is going to speak according to his word. That's your pattern. He's not going to speak anything that's outside of this book. So you have to familiarize yourself with the book. A lot of Christians get in trouble because they don't know the book. Fifth chapter. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Those are the works that he come to destroy. Which are these. 5 and 19. Book of Galatians. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, shall not inherit the promise.
That's right.
That's what Jesus came down here to do in his earth walk, to obey God the way the first man did not obey God.
Amen.
And pass that nature and that character on to us when we get saved.
Yes.
So that we are not a slave to that stuff anymore.
Come on now.
We have been set free. Now we got a choice.
Yeah.
Jesus said, choose ye this day whom you gonna serve.
Yeah.
Now we all Oh, no, we're not going to serve the devil.
Yeah.
We know better than that. But we'll serve ourselves.
Come on.
And if yourself don't line up with the word of God, you in the same spot Lucifer's in.
Amen.
You put yourself there. Can't nobody put you anywhere. You put yourself in that situation. One of the things that we teach around here in this church is that you have to take responsibility for your own action. I quit claiming the devil. Car ain't working and I ain't had it tuned up in 100 years. But I'm going to blame the devil because it don't stop. Well, like the woman got the gas cut off. The dirty devil when she didn't pay the bill. See, we have to be real. We try to be super spiritual about things when God is a common sense and a practical God. That's what this common sense is for. It came from God. Common sense came from God. So these are the things that God is dealing with. Now, let's go back to Romans. We move on. Now, he was made a minister of reproduction for us. That was a promise according to the Father. 9th verse. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess, this is Jesus, I will confess thee and sing unto thy name. Jesus is singing from the midst of us. Why? Because he has saved us.
Amen.
That's why it's easy. I don't know about you, it's easy to praise God.
Yes, it is.
Right. It's easy. Now, I'm not going to say there's some difficult times because of circumstances,
that's
but
right.
I can praise God. I can find a way.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I will find a way to praise God.
Yes.
I don't care how folks treat me. I don't care what they do to me. I don't care what circumstances. I'm going to find a way to praise God. I'm going to push it. Like I said, this is a fight to the finish. And your enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to shut down your prayer.
That's
he
right.
wants to shut down your relationship with God.
That's
and
right.
you, and it's up to you.
Yeah.
You have to maintain the relationship. I'm going to give you an example. One more example. I told you about the priest. When they did the altar according to the specifications of God, God sent the fire from heaven to light. Now, from that point forward, it was their responsibility to keep the fire going. It's your responsibility to keep the fire of God going in your life. It's not his responsibility. He's not responsible for mine. I'm not responsible for his. Now, I can pray for him, but I'm not responsible for him. You're responsible for your own self. You got to know God for yourself and give God praise according to you the way you praise. Not the way I praise him.
Amen.
Same way with prayer. I told this story before. I used to try to pray like him. My pastor brother. He's in that elders class. I'm a young elder. I'm going to pray like him. I got them books and I ain't tell him what I was for. I got them books. And you know, he man of God. He wants to help. He don't know what the motive was.
Right.
Motive was my own. It wasn't God's motive. Got those books, and I'm going to try to do it and try to pray like him. But see, the Holy Ghost checked me on it.
Uh-huh.
He didn't want me to pray like him.
That's right.
He wanted me to pray like me.
Right. Amen.
God, when he made you, he threw away the motive.
That's right.
You are precious in his sight.
Amen.
You say, anybody who would put up with the mess that he had to come down here and die. And carry all of that sin.
Yes.
So that he was unrecognizable to his own father. His own father couldn't look at him. And he died for you. You are very precious under God. So don't let situations, don't
come
let circumstances,
now.
Don't let people tell come you that you no good.
Yeah.
Don't let your situations and circumstances cause you to slip away from the peace of God.
Man.
The promise that God has given you.
Amen.
By the same token that God gave these promises to those back in those old days and those promises that reached up, that's the same God who's able to deliver you out of your problem with the same promise.
Amen.
That promise covers a multitude of things.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Oh, come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you. God got a couple more places to go. Go to 1 Timothy, 4th chapter. Still talking about the promise. First Timothy, the 4th chapter. 1 Timothy 4 and 13, it says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee.
Amen.
Back to that 13th verse. It says, till I come, give attendance to read. Now, Paul is telling that to Timothy, but we can also say that Jesus is telling that to us.
Amen.
Till he comes back. And his appearance. Now, I'm going to mess folks up. Everybody talking about that word rapture. That word rapture does not appear in the Bible.
Amen. Right. Amen.
So we don't add to it.
Amen.
The word, when God talks about coming back, is his appearing.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. That's the word he said. At his second appearing.
Yes.
Where they came up with that word rapture, don't know. No Hebrew word or Greek word for it. The English word for it means to be delighted.
Right.
Okay. Now, we are going to be delighted to see him come back, but that's not the word.
Amen.
We're going to be caught away to where he is. Amen. In the air. He's going to be in the air, we're going to be on the ground. Okay?
Come on now.
I ain't going to go too far of that.
Teach it.
All right,
teach
it. I'm back. Till I come, give attendance to reading. In other words, knowing accurately the word of God and exhortation. In other words, warning yourself and you warn others.
Right.
You console them. You encourage them. You don't beat them up with the gospel.
Amen.
I was telling some folks this morning about how I'm witnessing to this one young lady. She's much younger than I am, but witnessing to her. You know, because everybody thinks that they're good and they're going to heaven. And, you know, you don't want to smash them.
Right.
But you have to tell them and instruct them over time. That's why it's good to form a relationship with
that's
people
right.
so that
yeah,
you can right. come back on different occasions. In the same way that he said he spoke to them on many opportunities, that's the same way you witness. You don't just witness at the one time. You witness many times. Many times. You establish that relationship.
Yeah.
Jesus
right.
established that relationship with us. He spoke to me many times.
Come on,
he didn't
now.
Speak to me just the one.
Right, right.
But guess what?
Right.
This man here would forget.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
It was good.
Yeah.
Who was that? Or what was that? We say all the time, what was that that was said? God spoke to us. We done forgot the word.
Right.
He spoke the word of encouragement. We done forgot it just that quick.
Yeah.
That's why you have to maintain that relationship.
Amen.
Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Doctrine and instruction. Where's the doctrine and instruction for us? I'll just tell you, it's in the epistles.
Man.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's where it is. That's where the grace starts. That's where the salvation started for us. It's in the epistle. God has doctrine and instruction. How are we to get along with one another?
Amen.
In the book?
Amen.
But if you don't read it, you don't know how to get along. That's the biggest thing. We don't know how to get along with one another. Christ has put the instructions in the book, but if I don't not only read them, but put them into practice.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what God said. Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Why? Because we don't understand that we're the body of Christ. It don't matter where you come from or what culture you got. You are still a part of the body of Christ. Pastor, I'm going to say it again like I said this morning in the Sunday school class. Pastor Hart used to get up in here and say, I'm your brother whether you like my looks or not. Because he understood he was born of God. And all that are born of God, it doesn't matter where you come from
Amen.
Or what race you started
Amen.
With. We're his race.
Amen.
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 All right.
One race.
We're his
Amen.
Race now.
Right.
Amen.
14, neglect not the gift that is in you.
That's right.
The spiritual gift that you have, a lot of times we don't think they're anything because we're comparing them to other folks.
There you go. There you go.
We're comparing them to other folks.
Amen.
I don't compare my gifts with them. or with any of you the gifts that God has given you.
Amen.
It's not a competition.
That's right.
A lot of folks want to compete with one another. It's only one Christ. A lot of folks think that it's a whole lot of Jesus. Well, they act like the God I got is greater. That's like saying the thumb is greater than this little finger here. It's on the same hand.
Right.
It's necessary.
Say that.
I need all of these digits to pick this up.
That's right. Say that.
Without this, I can't pick it up.
No.
So in other words, God's letting you know that it's the same way that this is necessary for this hand. You are necessary for the body of Christ. Christ needs you. I used to think that God didn't need us. Pastor corrected my thinking on that. Give me something to think about. If he don't need us, then how can he glorify himself in the earth? Christ is glorifying himself in us.
Amen.
That's why we have to know this word, so that the light can shine greater and greater amongst all of us together. Not just me alone. All of us are the light.
That's right.
All of us make up the body of Christ.
Right.
All of us have a part in the anointing of God, which is one anointing.
Right.
Not many. We go in different directions, but it's only one Christ. It's one anointing.
Yeah.
So we, like I said, once again, we don't have to compete. Don't neglect the gift. Don't put yourself down. Now, I was given by a prophetic impulse with the company of laying on of hand. Why? So that nobody can say, I'm a self-made man. If God did that, then I can say I don't have to be a part of what you all are doing.
That's,
see, that's what a lot of people do.
Yeah.
A lot of people know they're not going to take part in the ministry, because if I take part of Pastor Rutherford's ministry, I'm going to get contaminated by him, and people are going to say, well, some of that you got from Pastor Rutherford. I can't have that. That's what people think. When the Bible says every joint supplies every other joint.
That's right.
In other words, it doesn't matter where the word comes from. It's the word of God.
Amen.
And the word of God is in all of us. Why? Because the nature and the character and the spirit of God is in all of us. So therefore, God can inspire any one of us to say some words of encouragement to somebody else.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Don't neglect that gift.
Lord.
15, hurry it up. I'm trying to get out of here. Meditate upon these things. Meditate upon this word. Meditate upon it. Make that the object of your constant care. Give yourself wholly to, in other words, be occupied. Be in them. In order that thy profiting, your advancement and your progress may be visible to all. Open the sight. Let me tell you something. Pastors have to be firm but gentle. Okay? And I'm going to say it like this. We know when folks are improving, and we know when they aren't. A lot of folks think you can come in here and hide and all that stuff. No. Now, God is not interested in your personal business. But he is interested in your progress. That's why God will inspire us with the word. We don't know why God is telling us this. All we know is that God is giving us this for the body.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? We don't understand all that. Like I say, God is a gentleman.
Right.
He's not interested in all your business. But he is interested in your progress and in your improvement. So God will inspire the word of God through one of the ministers to encourage, or if through a lay person, it can come through a lay person.
Amen.
To inspire, to encourage, to build up, to exhort.
Amen.
That's what this is all about.
Amen.
So that your progress can be seen by all. It says, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in it. Remain in it. Stay in the word. If God begins to use you greatly, stay in the word.
Amen.
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 Amen. Pastor Kenneth Hagin, senior, gone be with the Lord. He used to always say this, use the word. The word always works.
Yes.
You cannot build a ministry on spiritual gifts alone.
Amen.
Folks, trying to do that. You got to use that word.
Amen.
Amen.
For in them, for in doing, or for doing this, that word in is not there, for doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. When my father got saved and began to preach that word in the house, it inspired the whole house to get saved.
Amen.
Once again, we weren't in a church. In fact, I just put it this way. He got my father saved to take us out of an apostate church. We got pulled out. They were teaching some of everything in there. And I'm not going to take the time to go, but they were, stuff that was in there they were teaching that is against the book itself. Yet they called themselves a church. You got to know this word for yourself.
Amen.
Because there's a lot of wind blowing. And you don't know what you'll pick up. Come on, give God some praise. You're almost done. Go to 2 Timothy. Close with this. 2 Timothy, the first chapter.
What is this, the Lord?
13th verse. We're talking about the prophets. 2 Timothy 1 and 13. Hold fast the form of sound word which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Hold fast. Use your strength to hold the form. Now that word form is talking about a sketch. Hold the sketch that God has given you. It's a sketch of healthy words. It's a sketch of wholesome words. It's an account of what God has done in the past and what God is doing now. It says that thou hast heard of me in faith and in love. The word of God is in faith. If you have to come to God by faith, you have to stay in God by faith and by the love of God. That's in the now exalted one. That's what that word Christ Jesus means. Hold the sketch. Remember when we were kids, I don't know if they still had them, they used to call them etch-a-sketches.
Yeah.
In case y'all don't know what those are, that was a board, and it had sand in it, and you could use the knobs to draw things in the little box.
Yeah.
If you weren't careful and you shook the or shook it up, you would mess up your sketch.
Yeah.
Hold the box, hold this word, so that you don't hold the sketch that God has given you. The sketch is your prompt.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Hold it firmly. You hold it by the Holy Ghost.
Man.
Your strength is in Him. I can't hold this by myself. I hold it by sketch of what God is showing me, the promises that He's made to me by the strength of God, the Holy Ghost that indwelling in me. Let me tell you how this promise works.
Break it down, Pastor.
Told a lot of y'all my car blew up over a year ago. Holding the engine. Trying to get it fixed. Not going to tell you about the excitement of the guy fixing it. Well, but he didn't do a good job. And I just said this way, God took care of him. Seriously. Asked God because I was worried about him. He said, God, folks don't understand. God said, touch not my anointing.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what happened to him. He was working on a car and an engine block fell on his finger and smashed it. Because I was dealing with him honestly. My part is to deal with folks honestly. You don't come with a game and all. We represent who we represent.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
In the meantime, I needed a car. So, but I was maintaining my faithfulness to the ministry in spite of the fact that I didn't have one. Well, the car manifested itself.
Hallelujah.
Back in December. This is the way the promise of God works. God will manifest it. It's manifested already spiritually.
Yeah.
You just can't see it.
Yeah.
In this case, I was able to see it. But I wasn't able to take advantage of it. I could see it. I could touch it. I could get in it. I could start all of those things, but I couldn't use it. That's until the appointed time. when God made cleared up all of those other things that were in the way. Man. That's the way God's promise is. It's already yours. You may not see it. You may not be able to put your hand on it, but by faith, that same promise that he made back to them, that promise is to you. It's good. He said that good thing that God deposited in you, keep it by the Holy Ghost that dwells in you. Don't let the image fade. Don't get shook up. To make you give up. Don't give up. Hold the sketch. Continue to look at the sketch that God has given you. He's given each and every one of you a sketch of his blessing. And it's in his word. It's tied up in it. God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to deliver. He delivers on time. When you need him the most, he delivers sure. He won't lose your package. Jesus. I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. If you need prayer this morning, come on down. I'm going to touch and agree with you this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah.